we are looking at the different views throughout history of what is a church, specifically looking at the invisible universal versus the local visible as we believe it and know it to be. Forgive me, I didn't use my bookmark. So 1 Corinthians 15. And 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now what we're looking at here in this verse is that's what man is. We are corruptible. This is corruptible. Everything we touch can be corrupted. Everything we build can be corrupted. We do the best we can to build scenarios for medical research and technological research where we try to remove all the bugs and limit infection and things like that. But nonetheless, it finds a way. We are moving about in a corrupt earth. Everything we touch can and will one day be gone. Therefore, the ideas, the truth of what a church is, cannot be left to the hands of men. It cannot be invented by them. It cannot be improved by them. It must be left the way that it was given. Anything from God is perfect. Anytime we try to change it, or in our case, try to redefine it, we're going to get in trouble and we're going to corrupt the thing that we are working with. When we are looking at the different theories of church, you know, we're going to focus first on the universal invisible church theory. It is a theory. You've got to be careful with how much you put into theories. One of the things, and I know it's going to sound weird to say, is every now and then I love to read a little bit of Charles Darwin. Now we know Charles Darwin, he was the evolution guy. One of my favorite things to read about him is the many times he'd say something and then talk about how he would be racked with guilt or how he'd be racked with doubts. He goes, listen, he goes, everything sounds perfect until I get to this animal. And all of a sudden I feel panic. You know, he'd talk about that so often, the holes in his theory. And I love hearing him talk about the holes in his theory because there were a lot of them, right? It was a very corrupt theory. But yet it is one that we have adopted and we have taught to so many in schools and through education. Just, again, teaching why everything just kind of came out of nothing. So a theory is just that. It is an unprovable notion. And sure, you might be able to rustle up some evidences of this or that. But the bottom line is, truth is truth. So if we look at the historical development, where do we get this idea? You know, when we look over at the Catholic Church, how did they get to a universal invisible theory? Well, you got to remember, it all comes down to the hands of men. We were just looking through the study of Galatians, were we not? What was one of the biggest things they were fighting? The Judaizers had come in and they were mixing Judaism with grace, which is a major problem because the Old Testament's the Old Testament and the New Testament is the New. But that's initially where it started. In the first generation of churches, trying to return back to a more Judaistic form and order of doing things. And why would we want to go back to that? Well, here's the thing. As the pastor of Home Missionary Baptist Church, I will only ever just be the pastor of Home Missionary Baptist Church. And to most pastors, that is perfectly fine. We are very content and very happy to pastor the church we pastor. Some men, they get drunk with power. They get drunk with this notion that they ought to lead and command and direct multiple things. And that's where this evolves. well, hey, it's great to be the pastor of one church, but hey, what if I had the influence and was able to get some money from multiple different organizations? You know, again, I've referred to some of these franchise churches we see today. Why is it that you've got 12 different quote-unquote campuses of the same church? Because the same pastor wants that money. He wants to be able to say he's the pastor of 15 different campuses and get the money from being the pastor of 15 campuses. So when you look back in time, the motives are pretty much the same. I want to have the money from these different congregations. I want to have the power over these different congregations. And of course, that's not what church ought to ever be. That's not who a man of God ever ought to be. That's not the way God set it up. We are to do the Great Commission, and everything we do, from collecting tithes to making leadership decisions, all of it should be founded in that principle of doing the Great Commission, pleasing God and serving Him. That ought to be what it's about. But that's immediately, as the church is formed, immediately it begins to shift back over to there. Why? Pharisees, they're missing their power. They're missing their influence. Nobody's sitting there buying their lunch, you know. No one's sitting there giving them haircuts for free anymore, you know. It became very problematic. And then as we progress on, let me flip the page here. The second century AD witnessed the rise of what we would call sacerdotalism. Now, that would be the priestly assumption. Again, thinking back to Judaistic times, there was ceremony in a lot of the things that they would do. They took things very seriously. And you had to do this, you had to do that just right, or else there would be retribution from God. And of course, among many other religions, having of course started with how God taught us how to do things, spinning off from the children of Israel, being adapted from the children of Israel, they picked up ceremonial type things as well. So ceremony, we've got to bring ceremony back in. You know, that's why, regardless of the fact nobody speaks Latin, that guy's walking around up there swinging that smoking ball around, you know? And that's why we're going to sit there and you stand up, you sit down, you stand up. Here's some wine, here's a cracker, stand up, sit down. It's all ceremony. It gets people involved in a thing. Why is it still in Latin in many cases? Because why should you have to understand it, right? If we have to say it to you the way you get, we would then have to answer questions. And I'll tell you this, the Catholic Church is not good at answering questions. I've asked a ton of them to some of the priests that I've known. They're not good at it. There's a Hungarian Reformed minister in my family. And every now and then at a funeral we'll get together and I'll ask him questions. And guess what? He's not very good at giving answers either. Hey, listen, where do you see that ceremony? Well, you know, the church fathers. Oh, come on now. Anybody can be a father of something. If me and 12 of my buddies got together and spouted some Bible nonsense and somebody took notes, would that provide authority into there? Well, no, they had authority from God. How do they know they had authority from God? Because you can get almost any crook you want out there sitting there saying, I'm speaking on behalf of God. You know, this is what He gave us, what makes what you have. That extra ceremony, that extra writing. What makes what you have of any value? And why does it get to dictate what I believe out of the Word of God? So that sacerdotalism, that you come in and it's not a sacrifice anymore, right? So what do? We can't do sacrifices. God got rid of the sacrifices. What do? You come in and you will profess something to the priest. You'll go over to the corner and you'll light a candle and you'll hail the Marys and you'll do all the things you're supposed to do, right? Again, ritualism. If ritualism could save us, there would have been no need for the cross. And if the cross needed help, then that certainly was not of God. It certainly was not of God. Now we know that it is. We know that it makes no sense for the priest to be elevated to an area of, Father, please pray for my forgiveness, when Scripture tells us you should pray for your forgiveness, right? There is no mediator. Well, there's one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, so you don't need, hey, Pastor, listen, I don't have the authority to pray. I need you to pray. No, you call me, hey, pastor, I got this going on. Pray for me. I say, I will pray for you. But while I'm praying for you, you better be praying for you too. Right? Very simple. You go to the Father. I go to the Father. The throne room is open to everybody. Why is it important to them that they would do that? Of course, you'd have some ignorant people there. Not everybody was well learned. They didn't have school systems, and education wasn't the top priority for many. And of course, you have that. But I always see it, and forgive me for being pessimistic, I always see the nefariousness of it. Because I get to look back with hindsight. What were these people doing? It was control. It was religious control, right? Everything had to go to and from the priest. So it didn't matter who the mayor was. Didn't matter who the constables were. It didn't matter. It was all about the priest. So you'd hold him up high. Listen, I'll tell you this. The pastor of a church is its chiefest servant. That's who he is. He is the servant of the church. Under no circumstances should there be the puffing up and the, let's go out and buy him a Rolls Royce or make sure he is in, $10,000 suits. You know, that guy from Taylor down by where I came from, he'll always, always amaze me what that guy got away with. And what they would do. He called himself a prophet. All the jokes that he would, I mean, he wasn't telling jokes, but what he was saying was joke. It was bad. So that's sacerdotalism. You need to come to me. Now again, the pastor is here. Please come to me. But it is not a matter of you being unable to approach the Father yourself. And there's no ritual that I can give you. And so many people, they still approach church in that matter. Well, if I read my Bible and I go to church and I sing the hymns and I do my best, then everything will be magically fixed. It's not how that works. It's not. It is by the hands of the Father. You know, we talked about that back in the 90s. There was a big talk about the spiritualism of prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer, right? Prayer is just as strong as God is. Does that make any sense to you? My conversation with God is just as strong as God is. That sounds weird to me. You know, I get what they're trying to say. You know, well, I remember you're praying to God. I get that. But that's not always what I hear. Well, there's power in prayer. Well, no, there's power in the person I talk to. That's what it is. You know, if I need a mechanic and call up a mechanic, the power is not in the telephone call. It is the man who knows what he is doing who comes over and helps out. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He was having issues with his dishwasher, and he called up Home Depot. Home Depot sent out, I'm going to assume, the lowest bidder to his house. Right? He comes out, makes a real big mess. And then finally he loses his temper because he couldn't get the dishwasher in straight, unhooks everything, puts the dishwasher in the middle of the guy's living room, Venmos him the money he paid back, and left. Didn't say anything to anybody about not connecting things in. The wife went to go do the dishes that night, flooded the basement. You know what I mean? The power is not in the phone call. The power is in the person you are calling. In that particular case, he called somebody with no power at all. You know what I mean? Somebody who did detrimental things. It is not in the phone call. It is in the person you call. It is not in the conversation with God. The conversation with God can bring me peace. Why? Because it's God I'm talking to. It can bring me comfort. Why? Because it's God I'm talking to. It can do wonderful things. But it's because of God. And when I get that answer, it is not because of the power of my ability to pray. It is because of God and His answer, His sovereignty, and His power. So again, the sacerdotalism, all it was elevating the man into God's position. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this morning, grateful for your word that we can refer to. So the Lord, when we see the insanity that people do, the corruption that people bring to your word, we can steer the other way. Help us, Lord, to be wise. Help us, Father, to be steadfast in our obedience to your way of doing things, especially when it comes down to your church. For its name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.